A Tempo is a production of the Classical Network and is made possible by the support of listeners like you. Thank you for your support. Welcome to A Tempo, the Classical Network spotlight on the arts and culture. I'm Rachel Katz, and I'm your host as we explore the changes at work in the performing arts. Each week, I'll bring you some of the latest news and also take time to examine many of the issues that are challenging arts organizations and institutions. Today, we'll hear some reactions to the news this week that the American Boy Choir School has gone silent after 80 years. The school and its choirs have been institutions in the broader music world, and I'll speak with Westminster Choir College Professor James Jordan, Princeton Mayor Liz Lempert, and Chorus America President and CEO Catherine Dahoney about what the loss of the Boy Choir means for music. I'll also report the latest news on Rider University's plans to sell Westminster Choir College, another situation that has raised concerns among those in the region's music world. As part of A Tempo, we're pleased to bring you some of the news from around the world of the performing arts. Musicians of the Philadelphia Orchestra have donated $74,000 to the orchestra in the past year, part of a broader fundraising campaign to bolster the orchestra's financial standing. In a statement, the orchestra said all of the musicians participated in the gift, which was made in part to fulfill a $500,000 challenge from a member of the orchestra's board of directors to match donations by other board members, staff, and musicians before the end of the fiscal year, August 31st. The orchestra is working to strengthen its financial base following its emergence from bankruptcy protection 5 years ago and a short-lived musician strike last October. Rider University's board of directors has selected a finalist in its bid to locate a possible buyer for Westminster Choir College, announcing plans to move ahead with negotiations in the coming months. Rider declined to name the organization it had chosen as a possible buyer in its statement, describing it only as a potential international partner. The board made the choice August 17th after reviewing submitted proposals. Rider, which this past March selected PwC, formerly PricewaterhouseCoopers, to advise it on the sale, said it had reached out to nearly 280 organizations in the effort to locate a buyer. Local news organizations have reported that the Princeton School District had also submitted a proposal for the Westminster campus, located near downtown Princeton, with plans to incorporate it into future school expansion projects. The news was met with caution by supporters of Westminster, some of whom have filed a legal challenge to a sale. Parents, alumni, and students have spoken out about the possible closure of the school, which has made Princeton its home since 1932 and sent its choirs to sing with major orchestras in the U.S. and abroad. Constance Fee is president of the Coalition to Save Westminster Choir College.
My feeling, my reaction to the announcement yesterday is extremely cautious optimism until we see what the facts are, what the names are, what would be involved, what would be expected, and what the future looks like. It's not what anybody expected, I don't think, because we don't know what it is yet. But if it's an international organization, then it's very hard to imagine. That's the rest of the world. It could be, you know, it could be a lot of things. So we're hopeful, but we have a lot of questions.
With all the questions that are out there, what are the most important things in your view, in the coalition's view, in terms of what it means to keep Westminster here and keep Westminster going?
Keeping it here is primary. That's the name of our organization, and that's our focus and our goal, because that means we keep our faculty, we keep our students, we keep our routines, we keep our traditions, we keep our future, we keep our relationships with the orchestral relationships that we have. The faculty and students are the primary, they're the heart of what's going on. You know, they're the ones that we have to protect and watch out for. I'm just so, so grateful to hear the words to keep Westminster where it is in Princeton. That's the thing that's giving us hope. We don't know what that means, what's expected of us, what will be offered, and even where this is coming from. But I'm very eager to hear that information.
A conference date for the lawsuit filed in New York District Court is currently scheduled for September 1st. Those are just some of the headlines this week from around the arts world.
Thank you.
From time to time, there comes a moment in a concert when, as the notes fade following the performance of a magically sublime musical finale, the audience holds its breath in silence. Another type of silence swept the Princeton musical world this week, but it was not one of awe, but of sadness. The American Boy Choir School, whose members have brought angelic voices to audiences throughout the country for 80 years and sung with some of the country's top symphony orchestras, announced it was closing down after failing to secure its financial situation. In a statement posted Tuesday on the Boy Choir's website, Rob DeVanzo, chairman of the school's board of trustees, said expected enrollment for the coming year fell unexpectedly, leaving the school with about 20 students to start the semester in 3 weeks, too few to cover the school's costs, or even to maintain a chorus that could measure up to the school's professional standard. DeVanzo wrote further, "We regret the result for our students and for our staff and for our long history as an American institution. After all of our financial struggles over the past several years and a successful year of operations in 2016-2017, we are stunned that our enrollment was not what we had anticipated it would be and that we do not have confidence that we would have the resources to continue." End quote. The school had been facing financial insecurity for more than 5 years. In 2012, it left its Albemarle campus in Princeton and relocated to the newly created Princeton Center for the Arts and Education in nearby Plainsboro. The school had also faced accusations of sexual abuse alleged to have taken place in the 70s, 80s, and 90s, which led to several financial settlements and a tarnished reputation. By April 2015, continued struggles forced it to seek Chapter 11 bankruptcy protection, and it again moved, this time to a camp in Hopewell. The Boy Choir emerged from bankruptcy the following year. No longer able to provide dormitory housing, the school arranged for non-local students to live with area families. The school revised its development and fundraising plans and re-examined the way it booked concert tours to make them more cost-effective. But without new sources of funding and a falling enrollment, DeVanzo said they could not have made it through the fall semester. DeVanzo and other Boy Choir officials did not respond to my requests for additional comments or an interview. Founded in Columbus, Ohio as the Columbus Boy Choir in 1937, the school moved to Princeton in 1950 and changed its name to the American Boy Choir in 1980. The Boy Choir's reputation transcended the region. It regularly toured the U.S. and had in recent years traveled to China as well. In addition, the Boy Choir had sung with some of the region and country's top orchestras, including the New Jersey Symphony Orchestra, the Philadelphia Orchestra, and the New York Philharmonic. Its students performed the North American premiere of Benjamin Britten's War Requiem with the Boston Symphony and appeared in the 1951 Christmas Eve broadcast of Giancarlo Minotti's Amahl and the Night Visitors on NBC. More recently, the school had been the inspiration for the movie Boy Choir, starring Dustin Hoffman, Kathy Bates, Deborah Winger, and Joel McHale. Some of the boys appeared in the movie, as did Lytton Lodal music director Fernando Malvar Ruiz, and the Boy Choir is featured on the soundtrack. In addition, the Boy Choir is sung with music luminaries ranging from Jesse Norman and Wynton Marsalis to pop icons Paul McCartney and Beyoncé. Locally, the Boy Choir's Christmas performances had become popular seasonal traditions. The loss of that tradition was mourned this week around the Princeton area, a feeling heightened by concern over the uncertain future of Rider University's plans for Westminster Choir College, as you just heard. James Jordan is a professor at Westminster and director of the Westminster Conducting Institute. I spoke with him about the reaction to the news about the American Boy Choir in the music community and its legacy in the choral world.
You know, one is always hopeful that such an institution can find its way through the fog. And I was actually in Arizona teaching, and one of the students I was working with showed me the New York Times article. And it's just very sad. It's sad for music education. I think it's sad in the history of choral music in the United States, certainly. And, you know, it's just difficult for all of us, and especially for those of us who know the faculty and know the history of the school.
Well, there was a very brief time at which they were Westminster and the American Boy Choir were, I think, even on the same campus. What did they represent for the community at large, or the artistic community here in the region?
If there's anything to be learned, I think that in this day and age, I think we should learn to cherish our artistic institutions. And I think what has happened to the American Boy Choir can happen to any one of us at any turn. I think that's the lesson. And I think the importance of the support of the arts is as important now as it's ever been, and maybe even more so. And so, I mean, I guess there's a lesson somehow. I mean, I was thinking hindsight is always 20/20, and woulda, coulda, shoulda always comes up. But that's not helpful now. What is helpful is that we protect what we have. And I think there's a responsibility for major institutions to look after the smaller ones. I just think we have to take more care and cherish the things in the arts which we do have, which enrich our lives, many fold over.
Well, certainly there's large avenues for discussions on that. But just initially, what are some thoughts as far as what the community can do going forward to protect the institutions it still has?
Well, I would say that, we're currently, I'm kind of an optimist regarding Westminster Choir College. And I think the kinds of things we've seen demonstrated by our alumni and by the people that know Westminster across the country and around the world, I might add, you are kind of a textbook for other arts organizations. The support that we have received all around the world, I think, is a model for us all to pay attention to. And I think when arts organizations are in trouble or they need help, we have to step up. And I think the community needs this area is so rich, and maybe it's an embarrassment of riches, Rachel, that we are so rich in the arts and that we take them for granted, I hate to say. But we really have to cherish what we have in this area and support everything. Westminster Choir College, the Princeton Girls Choir, WWFM, I could go on, the Princeton Symphony. Look at the riches that we have. And I think we really have to be, all of us, have to be very protective.
When you look at something like the American Boy Choir, what made it unique in the choral world, and can there be something else like it in the future?
It was uniquely American. I don't know. I know that sounds strange, but going from the Columbus Boy Choir, this was not a transplanted European institution that took root here. This was started on American soil, and had the fingerprints of American music education and American boy choir training, and kind of leading the way in children singing. For a long period of time, it was the American Boy Choir, and then luminaries like Helen Kemp, who championed the teaching of children. And, I think it was uniquely American. I think it established very quickly a high artistic standard for children singing at a time when that wasn't around in the United States. So there's an incredible history that's been lost here because of what has happened. And I think, could it happen again? Certainly. I mean, there are many boy choir organizations across the United States, and there's a lot of children's choirs around the United States, our own Princeton Girl Choir being one of them. But that institution, I think, Rachel, you could do that again, but look at all the history that's lost. Look at the lineage. Look at the thousands of boys that have come through that school, and their lives are changed. And so I think, it certainly, it could be started again or something like it, but that's a tough upward road to travel in this day and age. For those who have brought it to this point, I'm sure it is a crushing, incredibly sad moment. And, my heart goes out to all my friends who teach and make art there. I just don't know what to say. We've lost something really great, Rachel. And, I think we should just take a deep breath and looking forward, cherish what we have. I will say that, all the things that Westminster has gone through in the past year, I even more deeply appreciate my 26 years on that plot of ground in Princeton and being in this town and having the privilege of making music with incredible people at such a high level. But I'm in the middle of it, and I would encourage our community to go out, go to concerts, support these organizations, buy tickets, buy recordings, and be proud of what we're doing, and certainly mourn the loss and learn a lesson from it. But my heart goes out to all of my friends at the American Boy Choir School.
That was James Jordan, a professor at Westminster Choir College at Rider University's College of the Arts. I should note that I conducted these interviews prior to the most recent announcement from Rider. Princeton Mayor Liz Lempert also spoke with me about losing the Boy Choir and its musical traditions.
It was very sad news. And the American Boy Choir School has been, just one of those institutions in the community that feels timeless and is a national treasure, too.
Looking at the broader arts community, how do the different performing arts organizations that we have in Princeton really add to life and living in Princeton in this region?
They're part of who we are, and I think it's one of the great things about living in this area is that there is such a rich cultural landscape. So, there's great music, great theater, there's, amazing dance performances, and the kids going through the school system get wonderful exposure to music education, and it's a part of life here, both participating in it, having opportunities to do that, and also hearing world-class concerts.
Do you have any particular memories or thoughts about the American Boy Choir that stick out in your mind?
Just listening to them, it's like it's like an ethereal, beautiful sound, and it's whenever you hear them, it's transporting, and it's a huge loss both to our area and also to the world.
The community is also kind of holding their breath to hear about the fate of Westminster Choir College.
Right.
If that were to leave as well, how will that change the cultural dynamics here?
It's a difficult time for the arts. And, I think we have to look inside and think about the investment we make in these organizations. And they are expensive to run, but there's also a huge cost to not having them. And I think everyone's, a bit stunned. I think that, that they are coming at the same time and potentially. I think there's no denying that it's a tough time for the arts and they need our investment and our help.
And certainly each of these cases are very, have their own very different specifics. But as you mentioned, it does speak to the broader issue of supporting the arts. Anything you can think of or any thoughts you have on what a broader community can do to really step up its support of the arts like this?
Well, I think probably the easiest thing that people could do is just, go to concerts and support them by attendance and, enthusiastic participation in that way. I also think that there needs to be government support as well, especially at the federal level. Groups like the National Endowment for the Arts are so important. And when times are tough, I think some people will try to cut corners by cutting the arts. But it, really is fundamentally who we are. And I feel like it's vital that we continue to support our cultural institutions.
That was Princeton Mayor Liz Lempert. Catherine Dahoney, President and CEO of Chorus America, which promotes advocacy, research, and leadership development for choruses across the country, said it was a major loss for the choral world, which is also very concerned about Westminster's future.
Everybody is just sort of shocked and sad, and it doesn't help that, Westminster around the corner there is also under huge siege, It's like two really important institutions. The American Boy Choir School set such a standard, certainly in the 50s and 60s and beyond, where it was like the model for so many other boy choirs. It's sad. It's really sad.
What type of impact did they have on the choral world overall?
From the folks I've talked with who attended, it was this amazing, it became the standard bearer for boy choirs. In the U.S., they performed with these major orchestras, and Giancarlo Menotti only chose boy choir kids for Amal and all these things. It sort of kept enhancing its reputation. And then many of its graduates have gone on to really wonderful careers, not only in choral music, but James Lytton had a big influence. He spawned quite a few really wonderful organists. And the ripple effects out from all those folks who've been working with church choirs and community choirs and congregations, I mean, it's immeasurable. But today, I think what this is sort of a reflection of is changes today where there are other models of boy choirs that are not boarding schools. There are day, you know, community choruses, very, very fine organizations in cities all over, but I think the American Boy Choir School certainly was an inspiration for that. But nowadays, people have choices. They can, you know, a talented boy can sing the San Francisco Boy Choir, the Cincinnati Boy Choir, and they're just a different model. I think society's shifted, and parents aren't as willing to have their kids, you know, leave home.
On an artistic level, what are some of the organizations, some of the boy choirs or youth choirs that might be able to step up now to, for example, the Philadelphia or New York Philharmonic, who did have them sing with the orchestra?
There's only one boarding program still that I know of, and that's the one in New York City, St. Thomas, in terms of being a boy choir boarding school. But there are... in Philadelphia, there's, I think it's under an organization called Keystone, which is very, very good. But I think there are certainly opportunities for wonderful singing for boys and, you know, young girls. And, you know, the Pacific Boy Choir, the San Francisco Boy Choir, the Cincinnati Boy Choir, they all sing at a very high level, and they're very rigorous programs that, you know, really just like the American Boy Choir School did, it try to create a whole human. It's not just about the singing, it's about being a good citizen and learning all sorts of life skills, discipline and emotional control and teamwork, just like any sport. All those wonderful outcomes, but then layer on top of that the miracle that is choral music and the connections that it just inherently creates just by working together to produce that sound. Those are all those that I've mentioned are all really fine organizations. Pretty much every major city, I think, has a boy choir, but those are the ones that kind of bubbled up in my thinking. But you know, it's just that, you know, things change, I know. And everyone thought there was some hope. They'd been having such a positive year last year. And so I think this came as a shock for a lot of people.
And you referred earlier to Westminster. Looking at that, you know, now, you know, the Princeton community is possibly doing a real close examination of what its future music community might look like. What is the importance of Westminster, both on a regional and a national level?
Westminster, again, is one of those institutions that has, because of its focus, its original focus on training outstanding church musicians at first, you know, the ripple effects of the incredible musicianship that they fostered in students there who've gone on, not only in church music, where you can't even imagine how many lives they enriched, you know, with the artistry that came out of the program, but now in higher education, all throughout K through 12, music teachers that had, you know, got their start at Westminster and were trained there, countless numbers of kids came into the pipeline of choral singing and instrumental music in this country because of the inspiration of Westminster's alumni. Yeah, and Chorus America's board, we have two members of Chorus America's board, this North American board of leaders. Two members of them were graduates of the American Boy Choir School. And Westminster is the same. Many have studied there. Certainly some of our finest choruses, community choruses, are led by folks who, learned at Westminster. And they still set a standard when the Westminster Choir College, choir goes on tour. People come out because they do innovative music that's on sort of the cutting edge of the choral art. And then they also sing the classics, the standard Western canon, better than anybody. So it really would be quite a loss for the field.
Well, what are, looking at the national scene, what are some ways that arts lovers can step up and show support and provide that kind of support for the organizations that are important to them?
Certainly, if you speaking up, writing letters of support, contributing where there are fundraising efforts underway, that certainly is one. I think trying to make more people aware of the value, the community building value of choral music, the civic engagement value, all the ways that musicians, certainly music teachers, have helped foster this love of music in students that pays huge dividends later. All the studies show that involvement in music leads to all sorts of higher academic outcomes, social, emotional intelligence, all those things. And it's just increasing awareness of that, that it's not just about sitting in an audience and hearing a beautiful version of your favorite holiday music or one of the great masterworks. The importance is so much more than that in terms of the value of music and the value of the community building that happens all around choral singing and instrumental music.
That was Catherine Dahoney, President and CEO of Chorus America. You can find the American Boy Choir statement at americanboychoir.org and additional reporting on the Arts and Cultural News page of our website at wwfm.org. We at the Classical Network would also like to add our note of appreciation for all that the Boy Choir added to our musical community. You can find a video of the Boy Choir's performance last December of Benjamin Britten's Ceremony of Carols with Rob Capello, which was broadcast as part of WWFM's broadcast series of Capello's What Makes It Great on our Facebook page at facebook.com/WWFM The Classical Network. I hope you appreciate these conversations I bring you each week, focusing on the arts and their challenges on A Tempo. But remember that programming like this is made possible only with your support of this station. You can become a member of the Classical Network anytime by going to our website at wwfm.org and clicking on Donate. Thank you for being a member of the global listening community that is the Classical Network. Thank you for listening to A Tempo. I'm your host and producer, Rachel Katz. Join me again next week as we explore more issues and trends in the world of the performing arts. A Tempo is a production of the Classical Network and is made possible by the support of listeners like you.